Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4. Blood though. I was talking to, I went home in between my work day and coming here. I usually leave here around 4:30. And I went home and I ended up having a conversation with Apostle and Miss Thompson. I call them Mom and Daddy. We just started talking. Nothing deep. We wasn't even trying to talk about nothing. You know, my mom started talking to me about what I was eating, right? And then the conversation went on from there. And I wasn't eating nothing bad, praise the Lord. But conversation went on from there. So Dad began to start talking, and he's talking about health. He's talking about our bodies. And one of the things he mentioned is that we put a lot of things in our bodies that are not made the same way as our bodies are. And it's not a health class, because I got to do a little bit more study, a little more training on myself. He was saying how we put a lot of synthetic in things inside of our bodies when we're not synthetic. So clearly it's not going to agree. He started talking for a couple minutes, and he said these two words. And you might have heard him say this before when he's teaching on health. And he said, we'll read a little bit in Ephesians 4, but he said assimilation and elimination. You can put that down, assimilation and elimination. And, of course, when you're talking about health, and I'll read a couple of definitions of assimilation to you in a minute. Not in a minute. I'll do it now. I looked up the word assimilation. It says the third definition I saw was to absorb something or to digest, like food or nutrients. So that's what we were talking about then. But the first definition is take in information, ideas, or culture and understand fully. And it says to absorb, integrate into a wider society or culture. And the second definition is to cause something to resemble a liking. And so I took those two words, and I know we were talking about health at the time and about putting the thing inside of you that you're made of because it agrees with you better, right? And then eliminating those things in you that are disagreeing with your functioning. Elimination. I looked up eliminate. It says to completely remove or get rid of something. Exclude someone or something from consideration. Now, it's one thing to get rid of, but now it says exclude it from consideration. Like it's not even an option. It's not even a thought process. It's not even a way to go. Like it's not even, you know, plan A and then plan B. It's not even a plan B. There is no plan B. Plan A is the way. You get it? To eliminate. The third definition is the murder. I said that kind of strong, didn't I? I meant to. Next definition is to exclude. And it says a person or a team from further participation in a sporting competition following defeat or inadequate results. To remove a variable from an equation. I got to write all this down because you should go back and listen to it. Typically by substituting another that is shown by a different equation to be equivalent. Expel waste matter from the body. So now we got assimilating and we got eliminating. Real simple. Turning into something that we should be and eliminating what we shouldn't be. This has been an ongoing theme in my conversation. I told y'all last week, like when I minister, I'm looking all in the sky, the birds flying by a certain pattern. I'm looking for a message. Like I'm looking, and I'm just looking to see, not even so much a message to preach, but I'm trying to see if there's a message to me. Right? You can't give a message till you get one. I don't ever forget that. You can't preach a message till it's been preached to you first. Now I ain't talking about coming to service. I'm talking about the Lord that spoke to you and told you something, and the proper way to do is, I cannot come and tell you to take some pills that I didn't take. I can't come and tell you to do something that I haven't done. I hadn't let it work through me already. Get it? And so it all, your message, you are your greatest message. Your message always begins with you. God begins to say something to you that has nothing to do with the congregation. It has nothing to do with the masses. Us preachers, it's hard for us. Because as soon as we hear something, we want to tell somebody. And that's great, but you have to let it work its course through you first. The greatest message is going to come through you. All right? That's why the Bible says God worketh in you. I got a couple of scriptures we're going to go through about that tonight. But it's got to work through you first. So now I'm looking for a message. And there's been a resounding theme today. I had a conversation. My phone is constantly, rolling. My battery, if I charge my phone all night, by 10:30, my battery would be low. I got to plug it up because it's just so much going on. And I got a text from one of my young friends. And he says, and I want you to write this down when I say this. We'll get two words after this. But he asked me a question. He said, is being like Jesus something that I need to be trying to do, or is it something that just happens? Good question, ain't it? Huh? Good question. Is being like Jesus, I'll ask you, but I don't want your answers right now because I'm going to hit you with the answer. But it's being like Jesus. Remember now, we're still talking about church unusual because remember, we cannot be the church without having a revelation of who he is in us and through us. All right? Jesus is the church. Jesus' name is the church. Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, that's him. That's the way the church is functioning. All right? So is being like Jesus something that I try to do? Is something that I should try to do? Or is it something that just happens? Now, I can give you scriptures for both of them. Right? It almost seems like, well, this one or this one? Which one should I do? Right? The beautiful thing about Jesus, and it's called dichotomy. It's two parts. The dichotomy of Jesus, he was fully God and fully man at the same time. You made the same way. To be fully in touch with the heavenlies and fully be here on earth. I heard the statement one time that said, some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And some people too earthly that they don't know what's going on in heaven. Binding on earth, binding in heaven, losing on earth, losing in heaven. They have no idea. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. They have no idea that correlation. Jesus had that thing down pat. Had it down perfectly. All God, all man, same time. Fully connected, but fully understood what was going on around him. Now, most of the time, because of our immaturity, because of our lack of connection, our lack of communication, we have to close our eyes and get off somewhere in order to feel like we're connected to the holies of holies. And we can't function here. Now, we didn't fell out. Praise the Lord for falling out, right? Nothing wrong with falling out. But we take that. And it's only because it's probably an overdose of something that you should have been getting already. Are y'all understanding me? So we feel like we have to go over here, and this is when I'm at my most spiritual, but you're right here. I mean, what are you here for? Are you understanding me? Jesus, all God, all man, same time. Understood everything God was saying and understood man's needs, same time. So this is why miracles, when you understand what God is powerful, when you understand when you fully understand what God is saying in God's direction, and you fully understand mankind's needs, that's a miracle. When those two connect, that's a miracle. Are y'all seeing it? I don't know if y'all seeing it. When you are fully equipped and fully connected and fully hearing and fully plugged into what God is saying and doing and flowing, and you fully understand man's need and what man is yearning for and what man is lacking, when those two understandings come together in a being, miracles happen. So if there's no miracles happening, or if there's no change happening, somewhere there's a lacking. Now, you can be too far over there. You need to go on to glory if you're too far over there. It's time for you to go because you ain't doing nothing here. Are y'all understanding me?
Yes, sir.
There is a reason that you're here. There's a reason that you come across the people that you come across about on a day-to-day basis. There's a reason. And the reason is not to judge them and say that they're less than you. The reason is not to pick the things that you think are wrong. It's not the reason. Think about this for a minute. And I'm on a wayside journey. But think about this for a minute. How often in our day-to-day course of living, and if you're not conscious, you won't do this. But in our day-to-day course of living, even when we see wrong things, how often is it that our mind goes first to, how can I be of assistance? How can I bring deliverance? Now, we deliver judgment. We deliver, and I'm not even talking about like we deliver verdicts. We do that quick, but what about the deliverance, the true deliverance? How often, think about today and the people you came across today. You might have seen some reckless things today, right? You might have seen some things that weren't too kosher. Where did your mind go? Did your mind go to this world going to hell? Did your mind go to, well, the signs say this is going to happen? That'd be our scapegoat sometime. You know, the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. What that got to do with you? What, so you're going to quit? So what does it do? The Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. We know Revelation and all that, right? But if it say that, what do then? Do we stop? Do we stop and wait for it to happen? Do we stop bringing deliverance and just wait for it to go on because it said it's going to happen? What it said you going to do? What it said you going to happen, though? Where did your mind go first? 90%, 99% probably. It went to our normal way of thinking. Let me get away from that. They so foolish. Look at that ignorance. I mean, even me. You know, y'all know how we do it. I'm on social network. I'm just scrolling up and see something crazy. Look, this is crazy. Them people so foolish. These people out their mind. Look at them. That's the first thing I go to, but the only thing the first thing I go to is because that's the first thing I go to. Like, I don't go to Christ first. I go to my thought, my ways. Many are the plans of a man. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. You get it? But why don't we go there first? We haven't been assimilated. We haven't been changed yet. We haven't been changed. We're born again, huh? But we haven't been fully changed. Now the scripture says that I've been changed, right? Well, why do I keep going back to that same thing? It's something that I'm not fulfilling. It's something that I'm not going all the way with. The scripture says in Ephesians 4 that I may, let me get there because I want to read that quick. This is verse 13, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, until a perfect man, mature man, purposeful man, right? Until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we measure up to Christ. Henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and care about every wind of doctrine by slight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth, how? In love may grow up. Now that's part of your growing up. You speak the truth in love, right? Yeah. May grow up into him, in all things. How many things? All things. Say it. Say all things. All. Say, I have to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So now I can't leave anything out. And it's a work in progress. Amen. I understand it's a work in progress. We're going to be working this progress until he come get us or we go to see him. It's going to be a constant work. I don't care how supernaturally spiritual you got today, you're going to have to get some juice for tomorrow. Did you eat today? No, like food. Like, no, not eating spiritual, not the word right now. I ain't talking about that right now. Did you get lunch?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you eat something today? So, who fasting? Ain't nobody fasting right now? Did you eat today? You ate yesterday too, didn't you? Why you ate again today if you ate yesterday? Now you had food. You probably ate good yesterday. So if you ain't good yesterday, why you got to eat today? It's called life. It's called staying alive. It's called living. The Bible calls it quickening, to make alive. That's perfect. It's perfect. Thanks, Holy Ghost. Quickening, to make alive. It's called living, called being alive. Now, Romans 8:11. Go quick, because I'm about to rattle these off right quick, so get there quick. If you ain't there by the time I get there, I'm just going to read it. Verse 11, Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken Everybody say quicken. Quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. There is something in you that's bigger than you. There's something in you that makes you alive. As a matter of fact, literally, you are living because that spirit is in you. We are three parts. What are the three parts? I am a spirit. I have a, and I live in a. The spirit is my life source. Without my spirit, we are gone to glory. We are no longer existing in this body without a spirit. So now, but it tells us what that spirit is. It says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, who we talking about? Who we talking about? Who we talking about? The Holy Spirit. Who they got? He got another name too. God. If the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by that same spirit that dwells on the inside of you. I'm trying to make you alive, not exist. Live. I'm trying to get things live around here. That same spirit, where is that? It's going to quicken. It's going to make you. That is the thing that makes you alive. Anything that's dead in your life is not submitted to that spirit on the inside. You are literally, listen to me well, you are literally sleeping and rising with that on the inside. Now, no, hold on. Let that sit with you for a second. Hold on. I want you, come on. Stop thinking about your notes right now. I want you to understand, because I don't know if people really understand what's going on. We live most of our lives not understanding who we are. We have a chronic identity crisis. It's chronic. It's chronic because we've been told things when we've been younger. This is why the soul wounds. And cleaning your soul out is why it's a constant thing we need to do, because we've been told things since we were young. We got last names. We got social security numbers. We got parts of the tracks that we stayed on side of. We got colors of skin and we got all these different things we've been told since we've been younger and such, and we got to deal with all those things. Most of the time, you got to deal with everything that you've ever heard. Everything you hear, you got to deal with it. Right. And so because of all this, we got identity crisis. You really, we've been churched. We've been churched up, churched out, churched down, left and right, and done all the right stuff. And where we at? Listen to me. And so I think that we have a massive identity crisis because we sleep and rise with it on the inside. Mm-hmm. Right now, I know I'm up here teaching class, but you sitting in them seats with that same thing. Mine ain't no better than yours. Ain't nobody's no better than yours. That's the same spirit of God on the inside of you. You took a nap? Anybody took a nap? Take a nap yesterday? You went to sleep with it. And when it woke up, it was there. You better been there. Or you wasn't getting up. Do you understand? 1 John 4:4. Go. Come on, go there quick. First person to get there, just start reading. Come on, flip. Come on. Come on, read it loud so they can hear you. Where he at? Are y'all all there? Is everybody at 1 John 4:4? Read it. Ready, read. You well? You what? Hold on. You what? That's enough right there. You what? You of God. You are from God. You ain't from your mom and them. You from God. God. They say God, right? That's where you from. You are of. You come from God. Read it again. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, we know that scripture, don't we? We can quote it up and down, left and right. What's going on? Is it true or not true? It's true. No. Come on, go answer me. Is it true or not true? Is it true for you? You have overcome them, little children. Little children. See, like little children, children will say whatever they hear. They'll say, listen, there's no question about it. They'll say exactly what they hear. Look, I came up with the same kind of accent my dad and my mama got. My dad is, I find myself saying stuff that he said that I know I wasn't old enough to remember that saying. My daddy got this thing, he was I don't know what the song is. He don't know what the song is, but he whistles it all the time. How you think I know it? He do it all. I mean, since I've been a little boy, he been whistling that same thing. So it's in my, I ain't never heard the song. I said, Dad, I talked to Daddy, what is that song you always whistling? He said, boy, you remember that song. But he whistling, and I know it. From a little child. That's how I take on anything. Tell them jump, they're going to jump. Put that on. A little child don't know how to match clothes. Go let a little child get dressed. But they don't know what matching is. They don't know whether it's matching or not matching. We take it on society and say, what's matching? And so we got to make a match. They're little children. Little children. Little children. Except you become as a little child, you're not into the kingdom. Oh, God, you told me grow up. That's how you grow up. Dichotomy. Full grown man, still a child. Same time. Dichotomy. Fully God, fully man, same time. Right? Is that too deep? That's not too deep, huh? Dichotomy. Fully, I don't know, because I fully grown and fully submitted. True leader is fully in charge and fully under charge. This is where we are. That same thing is on the inside of you. That same spirit, that same power, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's how I live. That's my functioning. It's assimilation. It's integrating and bringing something into place that wasn't in place. Like, it's already there, but now I got to let it be me. So back to the question, he said, is Jesus being like Jesus something that I try, right? Is something that I try, or is it something that just happens? Good question. And I'm not this smart. I'm not smart enough. I'm smart enough because I know to listen, right? And I know the measure of the measure of my intelligence is in his intelligence. So if I listen, I'm smart as he is. If I listen. In every situation, if I would listen and be yielded, then I have the answer to all things. Right. Now, I don't have the answer to all things in just me, but I have to be in a certain position. But if I'm in a certain position, then there's nothing that can stump me or no question that can't be answered. That's why Jesus was answering all the lawyers and the Pharisees over and over again. Like, can you imagine when he's standing down there? Use your imagination real quick, all right? Can you imagine standing there about to stone this woman? You know the woman about to stone, right? Come on, she's sleeping with somebody's husband or something, right? Now, I don't know how all them knew, unless it's one of them. Use your imagination. Somebody that was ready to, see, somebody's in there with that rock in the back like, please kill her, because I don't want to tell my wife. Please, y'all stone her. We about to kill her. There ain't none of us got to worry. It's probably a bunch of them. Because then you get down. Now, how you get this wisdom? We don't get this wisdom. How do we get this wisdom? And we repeat this wisdom for reckless stuff right now. But how do we get this wisdom? How does he get this wisdom? He said, and he no panic. He said, drawing in the dust. Like a little child. Huh? Yeah, got to use your imagination. Can y'all see? Whatever you think Jesus looked like, look at him, right? And I imagine he ain't look at him. But he used without sin cast his first stone. And now you start hearing his rocks dropping. Everybody leave. Everybody gone. Where you get this wisdom from? They about to murder this woman. That was the custom. Like, that was okay. That was the law. That was okay to do it. He get the wisdom to shut everybody down. Everybody. It wasn't one that was like, well, I didn't do nothing. No, nobody. Nobody. Nobody had a rock. That's the wisdom of God. You get the wisdom of God, stay connected to God. You have, there's nothing that can't be answered. This boy asked me, he said, is it something that we try to do? Something that just happened. And the Holy Spirit told me, and listen, and I don't take these words so deep because I'll break them down. But he said, it's intentionally involuntary. Two words. He said, it's intentionally involuntary. This whole process is intentionally involuntary. Let me go to the second word, involuntary. You're right now, your heart, you have involuntary motions in your body right now. Your blood is flowing, your heart is beating, you're breathing right now involuntarily. That means you're not volunteering to do it. In other words, you can't choose to do it or not. Right? Like, you ain't sitting there talking about heartbeat, heartbeat, heartbeat. Come on, heart. Come on, heart. And you're making your heartbeat. No, your heart is beating involuntarily. You know, you ever seen them people hit them people in the knee with the nerve, like the little nerve thing, hit them in the knee, and the knee, that's involuntary motion. There was nothing you could do about it. If you could have stood there and then started, it was nothing you could do about it. He hit that nerve the right way, that knee was going to, leg was just going to jerk. It's involuntary right now. You're breathing right now. How often do you think about your breath until you're about to lose it? You don't. You've been breathing all day long, and I bet you ain't thought about it at all. Unless you was out of breath. Or you need to catch your breath. But other than that, it's involuntary. That means it's doing it on its own because that's what it's made to do. It's built that way. It functions that way. So now involuntary, there's no volunteering for it. It just happened. That's part of the question, wasn't it? But you say, is it something that I try to do? Yeah. Because what is your intention? The Bible talks about the intent of the heart. God's like, Jesus, I ain't worried about all that y'all saying. I know the intention of your heart. I know what you intend. I know what the purpose, the intention, the purpose. You do it, you did it on purpose. The intention. What is the intention? I love Jesus, man. I read in the chapter today. The woman talking about, blessed is that woman that had you and birthed you and all that. Jesus say, but more blessed than one that do the word of God. I don't want to hear all that talking you're doing. He said another time, he's talking about, you're talking a lot of noise, but your heart far from you. I know the intent. Of your heart. I know the purpose of your heart. So now we got intentionally involuntary. Involuntary. He just do it on his own. So it's going to just come out, right? But my intention, what I am to do, is to put myself in position where it can come out. Talking about cleaning your colon, all right? And this is a negative connotation, but I'm just talking about something coming out, right? Excuse my crudeness, all right? The reason that your colon get clogged up, right? And the reason that if your colon get clogged up, then your body gets sick. Your body don't function right. That means you get incapacitated in one way or the other. All your organs start functioning the wrong way and it's messed up. Because the waste, we're going to get to elimination in a second. Because the waste can't get out. But the colon don't just get clogged up because it's not built to be clogged. So what happens? How does the colon get clogged? She said it's intentionally. There's some kind of, you intended on eating that chicken or whatever it was that you ate. And so over time, over the chronic habit, it's chronic, like you can't get away from that. And you eating like that all the time. Well, eventually, you get clogged up, but it's only clogged up because of what you put on the inside. It's only clogged up because something in there, you put something in there that was blocking what needed to come out. Now, I know we're talking about waste right here, but there's some things that need to come out of you. There's some gifting. We look all over the place. We go to the seminar. We do all this different stuff. The gifting right there with you. And it's trying to come out. Somebody need it. But it can't come out because you clogged. And you only clogged because you're putting synthetic ideas in your mind. Synthetic is man-made. Anything synthetic is man-made. Medicine, all that right, you're talking about medicine. All that synthetic is man-made. It didn't come from God. It didn't come from God's green earth that take care of everything, right? So now let's get to your thoughts. What are you made of, first of all? Let's see what you made of. What are you made of? Come on, what you made of? Dirt, yep. So that's why you need to know you're dirty. Amen. 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 You, come on, go ahead and say it. Amen. get beside yourself right quick, right? What's the life source? What do you get? Three parts. Let's go backwards. I live in a body. That's the dirt. We got the dirt, all right? So we got the dirt. What's the next thing?
Soul.
I have a soul, huh? Mm-hmm. Huh? And then what am I?
Spirit.
So that's what I'm made of. So all those things need to be taken care of. Huh? All those things need to be fed properly. If I don't take care of all those properly, then the things that needed to come from my life will expire. You know, expiration really means to breathe out and there's no more coming in. You look at the word expire, it really means for breath to leave. So now here we are, and because we're made, we already know how we're made. We're made in the image of God. You're a royal priest of the holy generation, a peculiar people. Y'all know we like those scriptures, right? Right? We talk about all things. What we made of? Are we feeding ourselves what we're made of? Truth of the matter is, you All right, stick with me. Y'all ready? When Jesus got here, right? When he came, like, don't get caught up on the religion of it. Jesus was here to show us you. He was telling us stuff before he had died, who we supposed to be. He said, you supposed to do this. But we was like, he hadn't died yet. So how am I going to do this? He's like, no, this is who you are. I am showing you the way. I am the way to do it. Not just what I'm going to do on the cross, but right now what I'm talking to you about now. Right? I'm showing you how to do it. So when Jesus get here, they said, and the word, I love it, in John chapter 1, he said, and in him was the light of the world, he was the light of the world. And then he said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I like this song by Fred Hammond called You Are the Living Word. You ever heard that song before? You're the living word, but you're the living word. I prove it. Can I prove it? Can I prove it? Because God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So word, just like let there be. And then what? Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. He started, come from a word, made him up, and then breathed into him and become a living soul. Where'd that come from? That come from a word. You a live word. So if you are made of the live word, if that's your makeup, then what is going to be your take up? You get it? Like if that's what you're made of, then what do you think you're going to live off of? Man shall not live by, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, that's spiritual, soul, and physical health. Listen to me, because it's what you're made of. So now, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, not out of the mouth of. There are a lot of words. Now they're not talking about you as a man, me as a man, because if I'm speaking under the jurisdiction of God, then that's God speaking. That's a word of God. You understand me? But mankind as a whole, separated from God, has a theory. They have understanding. They have ways to do things. But many are the plans of a man. There's a way that seems right to man. But the end thereof is death. So that ain't the same thing I got in the beginning. That ain't the life. Breathe life into me. That ain't the same thing. So now I got to pick my word. What are you made of? Anytime you're feeding yourself something that you ain't made of, you're causing cancer in your situation. We get cancer talking about the surgeon. Nobody, cancer just eating stuff up. It's just taking up space. It's just destroying what's really supposed to be happening. What are you made of? So assimilation. So now everything about you should be turning into him. Everything about you should be turning into him in your vocation where you're called. Everything about you. It's assimilation. I think we miss it by being, you ever heard them say, stuck in your ways? Huh? Yes, come on, I can't hear you. You're stuck in your ways. Sometimes you're stuck in your ways. Sometimes you're stuck in the way you've been doing it, and the other way is a little bit uncomfortable. You know, like, it's almost like getting out of bed on a cold morning. Huh? But if you never get up, you can never go anywhere. If you never get up, you never make any progress for the day. I don't care how warm the bed is. You know, they say the babies, when they first come out the womb, they really be trying to go back in. Lord Jesus, you done brought me out here into this cold world. It was so warm and comfortable where I was. I was getting fed. I was swimming. We ain't had nothing to do. I was chilling. You done brought me out here, and that's why they start screaming. Ah, I don't want to be out here. It's uncomfortable. But the child never comes out the womb. Huh? The child never comes out the womb. There could never be growth. And the destiny is on that child. What if Jesus never come out the womb? Come on, a child got to come out the womb. Come on. Be no more children. Talk to and fro. Cared about every wind of doctrine. Huh? Don't, come out. Cut the cord. Cut the cord. Get out here and breathe. Come on, get out here and grow up. So when we get out here and grow up, we can make progress. Where does it say in the Bible that in all things you'll be comfortable? Oh, wait, it's not in there. They got what you call, my knees used to hurt when I was about 14, 15 years old. They call them growing pains. Right.
That's just, but all that meant was, you know, I cry, we need to put ice on my knee. It didn't matter, because all I knew is that I was growing. That means whatever size I was at that time, you better believe I'm about to get taller. Brother about to hit a growth spurt because of the growing pains. You get it? I ain't gonna complain about that. It's just a stretching. It's just a stretching and a working. So now here I am assimilating. I must assimilate. I must say it. Assimilate. Say I must assimilate. Say I must assimilate myself to the Christ. See, because there ain't nothing else. You don't have no identity. Forget all that stuff that you thought. Male, female, black, white, whatever, social security number, all that stuff. No, no, no. Your identity is in Jesus. Are you understanding me? Your identity is in Christ. Are y'all with me? So now my assimilation, I got to eat what he ate. I'm not talking about lunch table right now, y'all. I'm talking, take in. Everybody say take in. Come on, take in. See, when you assimilate, you take in. Like you are, you see what's happening is over time, we've taken in so much other stuff. And so that's why we can't hear this stuff. Like we've taken in so many other ideas over time, right? Yeah, which is true, right? We've taken in so many other ideas and understanding that we get spurts of greatness. You ever feel like that sometimes? You feel like, well, today was a good one. Spurts of greatness, but then it's like, the next day is like the total low. Like it's like find the bottom and under the bottom. Like it's, like what's going on? You try to remember yesterday, but you know how you feel right now. That's because somewhere along the line, that other stuff. That's why I said, let this. A couple chapters later, he started talking to you. He said, think on these things. But if it was just, it was honor, it was lovely, it was a good report. If there be any virtue, think on. You know, if you keep your mind on Christ enough, you can't really think about losing. Anytime you think about losing is when you took your eyes off. Remember Peter walking? Yes. Come on, y'all. Come on, amen. Come on. Come on, listen. Anytime that you feel, or anytime you feel in some kind of way, my father told me one time, he said, you check your soul. He said, sometimes you feel in some kind of way. You feel like you're about to get depressed. Ain't no depression. It don't exist. That's something them people made up. Ain't no depression. Forget depression and let an impression be made on your spirit. Let nobody diagnose you as a manic depressive. I'm not taking none of these names. There's somebody watching on the line on the class. There's somebody been keep telling them they're depressed. No. We won't take that anymore. We won't take that. Some of y'all might have been told we won't take that anymore. Ain't no depression. It don't exist. It's a figment of your imagination. Stop imagining it. I don't care what they went on. Ain't nothing went on that bad. Rachel grandmother said this one time, talking about, oh, my stomach hurt. Rachel tells us we're doing this thing, detox on time. We're doing the all right. And it's rough. Like, get a drink. Olive oil, it's real rough. It's like it's tough. You bathroom, like you just tough, right? Oh, I'm hurting. You said it ain't worse than what Jesus went through. Did you die though? It ain't worse than the nails and the thorns in your head and the stripes on your back. So tough it up. I don't care what it is. If I can keep my eyes on Jesus, see, we sink, Doug. You listen to me. In every area of life, we sink because we stop looking. Hebrews 12:2 says what? Anybody know? Looking unto Jesus. Who is he? He's the book, right? Like by Jesus. Like you see the book, authored by Jesus. Right? We used to write them little books in school. Had little books, we used to write the books and color them. And at the beginning you put, by Montrell Thompson. Because that's who authored the book. So looking under the author and the what you gotta do?
Come on now.
My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke on me, learn me, for I'm meek and lowly heart. You find rest for your. He said, well, my yoke is easy. It's real easy. What else you gotta do? You ain't gotta write it, and you ain't gotta finish it. Just walk. Just live the book. Live the book. That's it. If I can keep my eyes on Jesus, I'll never go down in any area. Whenever I start sinking, listen, I could have been, listen, if I was Peter and I started sinking, As soon as I started sinking, I was like, come on, hold up. So now I'm trying to find out where he at. Anywhere you sinking at, find out where he at. Because if the moment that you can lock your eyes back on him, now see society. Can I talk about society for a minute? Can I talk about society for a minute? See, that's what they do. They throw the billboards and the commercials, and they got all them crazy commercials come on TV at night when you be staying up late, talking about all this stuff about your health. Ah, turn it off, mute it. Don't even look at it. Don't even read the words. Come across the screen, and people know how to get you to believe something. All right? Or old girls start talking to you about something. Or cousins start talking about something. Or you hear some bad information or whatever. All that stuff. Stop taking all that stuff in. See, the world is trying to throw smoke screens. The Lord told me this one day. He said, you know what the enemy trying to do? I said, God, dog. He said, all right, Lord. He said, you know what the enemy trying to do? I said, well, I was talking, and I've been saying this for weeks. I said, you know, he's trying to weave. I said, because I've been thinking about, like, helping the young generation. I said, boy, he didn't weave a web here, boy. Like people getting caught in left and right. People think you're conspiracy if you talk the truth and the web, and you can't get society and mainstream mindsets to even think any different. I said, boy, he didn't woven a web here, boy. And I said, well, but I don't know if we're strong enough. I know the word of God's strong enough. I said, God, dog. And I said, the Holy Spirit said, what are you trying to do? He's trying to make a new veil. My God. You remember the veil that was torn? That was ripped. You remember that? Remember the veil that was in between us? Holiness of holies, they used to call it like that. Right. Remember the veil that was in between us and the will of God and us and our truth? We had to kind of be outcast because we couldn't go past the veil. But they say when it happened, the veil was rent in two, and now it was open up for both of us, right? Like, it's open up for us. But see, he's trying to make you think that there's still a separation. Y'all listen to me, please. Y'all listen to me?
Yes,
he's trying to, deception. The scripture said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. In other words, don't let nothing deceive you, right? He's full of deception. He steals and lies, all right? This is what he's doing. Don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. The whole goal, even when something hits your body, when something hits your money, when something hits your family, when something going on, the whole thing is to get you to think that you're separated from God. Even in sin, you're not separated from God. All you got to do is repent and change your mind. What can separate us from the love of God? It's scripture, ain't it? What can separate us from the love of God? So does that mean that I'm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, eight if there was eight, right? Not like I'm always right there connected with the power of God, the Almighty God. I'm right there all the time. It's right there. It's a thought away. It's a shot, you want a tongue? It's a shot away from being right there. You're not even away. It's within.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? It's trying to fool you and make you think that there's been a separation. Now, any moment, any given time, any given second, if you decide to be conscious of mind, let this mind be in you. That moment that you are conscious of mind, you can speak to whatever it is that you are standing in at that moment. Lock your eyes on them and rise out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long. It doesn't matter how desperate. It doesn't matter how deep the hole is, how far it is. Find him. Get in there and see Jesus. It doesn't matter. It's right there with you. Everything is trying to make you think that you got to go through the veil. Now, it's just like this. Now, I met a man one time. I told you this before. He passed away, and he talked to Jesus about an hour, and Jesus brought him back, told him what he wanted him to do. He said the Lord showed him his body. He said he had a big black, like, vest over him. He said, that's all your negative thoughts. All the stuff on your soul sound like a wound to me, right? He said, there's several ways you can get over it. He said, you can do self-help and go read some books and go get some therapy. He said, and they have a certain level of help. He said, but I can take my hand and do just like this. And all of it is gone. He said, I would rather you walk it through the word because then you know the way.
Right.
I can drop you off somewhere, but if I take you there, you can always get there.
Come on.
Give a man a fish, eat for a day, teach him a fish, eat for a lifetime, right? Right? So he said, I'm the word, my son, you are cleansed through the word, right? He teaches you that, so you'll know how to get there. So even when dirt come back up, you know how to get there, right? But it's simple as, he says, as simple as this, watch. It's a miraculous power of God. He said, as simple as, I'm going to take and go, and it can't tell me nothing. It don't matter how long it's been there. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
Come on, say it again, say freedom.
Freedom.
Come on, say it again, say freedom.
Freedom.
Come on, say I'm free.
I'm free.
Come on, say I receive my freedom. Come on, say I'm free.
What's
it? Right here, right quick, boom. Where you locked up at? Where you locked up at? I don't care what it is, where you locked. Just that quick. Beat unto your card. He, I was reading that thing today. He said, y'all believe I could do this? Yeah, Lord, we believe it. Well, according to your faith, be it unto you. Wave your hand. Come on. Wait, think about the thing. Think about the thing right quick. That thing. All right, before you wave your hand. Because I believe God can do something right. Wave your hand. All right. But think about that thing, all right?
Yeah.
Everybody got to do whatever that thing is, all right? Now you're going to take your hand. Just take it out. And this is not the quickest. It's the hand of God, right? Right? Who's working in you? Who's working in you? Is God working in you? Jesus on the inside of you. All the stuff we scripture be saying over and over again. The life that I now live, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. All right. So here we go. Here we go now. But think about that thing. The thing right there. And it's just wipe. Go. Now, as far as God is concerned, it's over with. It's over with. There's no conversation about this. It's over with. Now, if you decide to lay there with it, you decide to bite it back in. You know, you say the house is clean. Right. But then you're going to make a loop. But if you decide to go ahead and keep the doors unlocked, then go ahead, and that's what you're going to be dealing with.
Come on.
What's gone? You're going to get in the car. Right? That's you're going to get in the car, and that thing going to come up. And you just, as an actor, you ain't telling somebody like, you get on my face today. Right? Right? Or the fly. What do I have when the fly flying around? Right? I'm sick. Now, if you ain't got to do it, you don't have to do it. You can just sit down and be like, I ain't doing it. Okay, that's fine. Listen to me. I think. Listen. He who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are. All that become. It's over with. He who the Son set free is what?
Free indeed.
It would have been cooler if he said, he who the Son set free is free. He said he's free. Indeed got two words. In your deeds. He who the Son set free is free in whatever they're doing. And whatever you do will prosper. It's over with. Hold on. I'm going to say this and we're gone, all right? So you keep it on your mind, all right? Listen. There's no conversation about this. There's no discussion. We're not having any discussion with the situation. He never told me to talk to the situations. He told me to speak to a thing, and it got to listen to me.
Yeah.
There is a, my mom used to tell me, tell me to do something, and it wasn't no why. These new kids say why. It wasn't no why in my trail house, right? When I was coming, it wasn't no why. I figured my mouth to say, and it's over with. And all these gone, all my fronts, they're gone. I'm going to get my new teeth coming back in, right? Ain't no why. There's no conversation.
That's right.
Sit down. Why I gotta sit down? Ain't no why I gotta, because I said so.
That's right.
My mama said, because I told you so. You feel it, honey, you feel it, honey. Because she looked at my mama, yeah. Because I said so.
That's right.
Even though I gave a look that was like a why. Because I said so. So because you said so. You have whatsoever. Do you believe though? Mark 11:20. Yeah, come on, y'all. I ain't mess with y'all about that lately, right? So I ain't going to do it to you tonight, right? Mark 11:23-24. But you believe, you can say it and it's got to move. You can. And they're talking about a mountain. Last time you went to a mountain. What's the last mountain you ever been around? You ain't never been around no real mountain before. We saw them on TV or saw them on some pictures. You ain't never had to speak to no mountain because they got roads around there. So, but he's talking about a whole mountain to move. Because I said so. Why I got, because I. Because I said so. Why I got, why you push me up? Because I said so. It's finished already. It's already done. It's already over with. That thing was won before it started fighting you. Do y'all understand? Like before that thing came, it's really,
it's really, I was little, I knew I couldn't beat my brother up, right? My little brother, but I still would try. Like, I tried him, like, we grown. I tried him one time, we was in a hotel in Virginia, but it's so funny, we too grown over there. He's standing there, and I just clicked out into a little kid, and I just jumped on him, boom, man. Jumped on him, threw him on the bed. Leroy Jr., it was so funny, y'all gonna laugh at him when he come here, don't tell him I told y'all. Boom, and I felt like I could take it, right? Boom, boom, so we touched on the bed, nothing real, we just touched him, and all of a sudden, but he got strong, and he's like, and it, I don't know if it's something in my mind that clicked out, because I'm still the little brother. I couldn't realize that I'm still a little brother or whatever. I just clicked out and I'm just used. And he got like real Hercules strong and pinned me down the bed. I was like, you know, they pin you down, you can't move your arms. I said, what's going on? That's how that problem is for you. Wow. Now it's gonna test you.
Yeah.
And it's gonna try you.
Yeah.
It's gonna try you. Stop. Stop. Stop squaring up. You're gonna be like, come on. Come on, come on. And you start swinging with all your might, and you know you swing wild like they be. No, no. Just. Y'all tell me what Jesus rushed to do. Tell me what he rushed to. Lazarus died. He didn't say he walked. Tell me where y'all saw Jesus ran to the next city. I'll wait. You ain't seen it. He hurried over there. The only thing he said, be not afraid, only believe. Let me tell you what Jesus trained and said, excuse me, in the name of Jesus, in the name of me. No. What's over with? Windshield wipers? It's raining today, huh? You might do it. It's over with. You get it? No, you better, listen. I'm gone. In my class, you better know who you are. You better realize who you are. And tell yourself who you are. Stop letting other people tell you who you are. Stop letting TV and media and all these different things and doubt and unbelief and your feelings and your emotions tell you who you are. You take your emotions and put them in motion. Do y'all understand me? You better know who you are. You stronger than you think you are, man. You know who you are.